Welcome to the Power Hour. My name is Charlie Robinson. I'm your guest host for this afternoon. How's everybody feeling? It's a weird time to be alive, I would say. A lot going on. Thanks to everyone for inviting me on the show. I appreciate it. It's my great pleasure to be back with you. If you're interested in finding out more about me, you can catch my podcast, Macroaggressions. It's available wherever podcasts are served, as well as on David Icke's platform, Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, sometimes YouTube. You know how they are. Or you can connect with me at my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Well, it's that time of year. It's almost that time of year when we get around September 11th and we are forced to relive that day again and again and watch that snuff film that they forced us to watch on the nightly news over and over again. But don't worry, they're concerned about graphic content with everything else. Just not 9/11. Not 9/11. They'll show that video over and over and over again. Because they have to. They had to back then, and it works to reinforce it now. They need you angry. They need you hopeless. They need you emotional. When they've got you in that state, you're more easily controllable. And that's how the media works, along with their partners in the government. And I think it's as we get to 9/11, this is a special one. This is the 20-year anniversary. We'll look back on not just that event, but everything that came as a result of that event. Yes, 3,000 American lives were lost in New York and in Washington, D.C., Shanksville, maybe. But what was done in the aftermath of 9/11, the indiscriminate wars that were started, the blank check that was given, the reduction of our personal liberties and freedoms, the imposition of the Patriot Act, TSA, Department of Homeland Security, all these things came in the aftermath of 9/11. So it's not just about that one day. It's about much more than that. So where were you on that day? You know, I'm too young to have that Kennedy moment where I can remember exact, you know, everybody can remember where they were the day Kennedy died, you know, except George H.W. Bush. He was in Texas as well, but just couldn't seem to remember where he was. I find that fascinating, but I digress. Or do I? Because he makes an appearance in the 9/11 agenda as well. I wasn't in Manhattan that day. I was on the other side of the country. I was in Manhattan Beach, California. Woke up to roommates saying, you need to come check this out. There's something on the TV that you need to see. Now, at 6:15 in the morning, there wasn't much on the TV that I thought I needed to see until that day. And I sat there like everyone did, transfixed. I hadn't quite figured out how the mainstream media actually worked. I had an idea, but I did not know the depths of their depravity. So I watched. We sat there on the couch and we watched what happened. And we waited for the news to tell us how it all was taking place. Who was involved in this? Who could have done this? If you remember that day, the narrative started almost immediately. In fact, the narrative started as soon as a couple characters made their way down to the newsroom. In the United States, that was L. Paul Bremer. He was the head of Marsh & McLennan. He had an office in the World Trade Center up on, you know, I think it was the 90th floor, real close to the impact sites. He wasn't there. He just magically knew that that morning he needed to be in the offices of NBC News, where he introduced himself, having met these people for the first time, and immediately started to shape the narrative of who might be responsible for this. Well, we're looking at several people. Osama bin Laden is most definitely at the top of our list. Ooh, interesting. Case closed, right? L. Paul Bremer solved the case 15 minutes in. What a... like magic, right? But he wasn't the only one. Because at the same time he was in a studio in NBC in New York City, in the BBC studio in the UK, Ehud Barak was there to start crafting the narrative in Europe. Former Prime Minister of Israel. Who did he suggest it was? Osama bin Laden. Wow. What a coincidence. These two guys should go into business together. Solving crimes. Amazing. Their ability to manifest this information just out of thin air. And it was from that moment on, the narrative started about Osama bin Laden responsible for these attacks. Well, you know, I think it's interesting that there was a gentleman that we used to listen to a lot. You remember Bill Cooper? Oh God, I wonder what Bill Cooper would have to say about today. He definitely would be screaming at us, calling us stupid for not figuring it out. And you know what? He'd be right. But he said something very interesting. He said this on June 28th, 2001, 75 days before 9/11 happened. He said, "I'm telling you to be prepared for a major attack, but it won't be Osama bin Laden. It will be those behind the New World Order. Whatever is going to happen that they are going to blame on Osama bin Laden, don't you even believe it." I mean, you want to talk about calling your shot. Bill Cooper was dead by the end of 2001. Murdered by police in his driveway. I'm sure that's all just a giant coincidence and misunderstanding, though, right? But there's more to 9/11 than what you saw on the nightly news. In fact, I would suggest if what you know about 9/11 is what you saw in your nightly news, then you don't know anything. There's a much darker agenda. You've had 2 decades to figure it out. If you still think that 19 Arab hijackers armed with box cutters avoided the most intricate and well-financed defense system in the history of the planet and flew 4 airplanes wildly off course for an hour without being shot down, then you're still in the fairy tale portion of the narrative. And how dare you? You've had 20 years. Wake up. Further, the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event, like a new Pearl Harbor. That's from the Project for a New American Century, from a document that they wrote called Rebuilding America's Defenses. They put that out in September of 2000. You can find that quote on page 51. Exactly 1 year later, they got their new Pearl Harbor in Lower Manhattan, Washington, D.C., and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. With this came the green light in the form of support from Congress, support from the American people, and a blank check, more importantly, to put their plans in motion. Do what you need to do. Take the gloves off if you have to. Just please, please make sure this never happens to us again. Well, if you're looking for suspects, actual suspects, not 15 Saudis who turned up alive after the event, not Mohammed Atta's and his father answering phone calls from the press saying, "I talked to my son yesterday, he's fine." If you're looking for the real suspects, you might want to start with the Project for a New American Century. Because that PNAC document provided probably the most important quote in the past 50 years. It is the proverbial smoking gun that shows their planning and intent. These are criminals masquerading as government officials. And they're people that you would recognize. They're names that you would know. They're names that are still functioning in polite society. A lot of them teaching at universities. You wonder why the schools are so screwed up, huh? Elliot Abrams. John Bolton. John Bolton. Max Boot. Washington Post propagandist. Jeb Bush. Frank Carlucci. We'll get back to him. He's the co-founder of Carlyle Group. He's a very dangerous individual. Dick Cheney is a member of the Project for a New American Century. I'm sure you're all surprised about that. Elliot Cohen. He's teaching at Columbia, I think. He's teaching history. The irony of these people teaching history. Steve Forbes. Frank Gaffney. Robert and Donald Kagan. Charles Krauthammer. Remember him from Fox News? Bill Kristol. Taking an unofficial poll of worst human being on the planet, Bill Kristol is in the discussion, I assure you. He's the co-founder of the Project for a New American Century and a very, very dangerous individual. Scooter Libby. Richard Pearl. Richard Pearl is an unhinged maniac. Not my opinion. Provable fact. Read up on him. Dan Quayle. Donald Rumsfeld. Oh, you might recognize Donald Rumsfeld. He's the guy that the day before 9/11 went on camera and said, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions. Listen to the intro to my podcast, Macroaggressions. I use that line is in the intro. It's preposterous, right? $2.3 trillion just up and vanished. But I'm sure Donald Rumsfeld's looking everywhere for it, right? Uh-huh. Richard Schultz, Casper Weinberger, Paul Wolfowitz, James Woolsey, Dov Zakheim, Bob Zelek. There's another theme running through these guys, this list of psychopaths. A lot of Zionists on the list. I know. You can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. No, it's not. No, it's not. Sorry. That trick doesn't work anymore. Zionism is a political designation, not a religion. Yeah, Joe Biden said it himself years ago. Don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. I'm a Zionist and I'm proud of it. Bet you didn't hear that one. I got that quote in my first book, The Octopus of Global Control. I encourage you to take a look at that book and find all kinds of things that you never heard before. I put quotes from over 500 different people that had a front row seat to some of the most important events in our history. 9/11 factors quite a bit in that book. And it opens you up to some ideas. Once you take a step back, you move away from the mainstream media narrative that was crafted, and you start actually looking at things. The thing about 9/11 is that they made a lot of mistakes. The fact that they were able to pull it off at all was a miracle. But they left a lot behind, quite a few unanswered questions, several elephants in the room that are difficult to explain away. I got a quote from Dr. Kevin Barrett. He's a PhD Arabist Islamologist Islamagist. Is that even a word? That's what he says. This is what Kevin Barrett said about 9/11 and the war on terror. He said, a real investigation of 9/11 would destabilize the United States political system, and it could even lead to a civil war. The truth about 9/11 is so horrific that if the American people actually were to learn that truth, they would completely lose confidence in their system, because the truth of the matter is that a faction of power here in the United States, the neoconservative faction, orchestrated the events of September 11th, 2001 as a new Pearl Harbor designed to launch their agenda of world domination and a rollback of freedom in the United States. He's right, but it wasn't just them. There's a whole lot more to the story than just the neocons. They had help. But it reminds me of something that Joseph Goebbels said, the Nazi minister of propaganda. And he would know about propaganda. He said this, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It is thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Well, the state certainly does have a problem with the truth. Now, it's different if you're in the middle of the 9/11 event, days after, weeks after, months after even. Hard to put all the pieces together. But we've had quite a long time to figure this out. And with the benefit of hindsight, now looking back on what came out of that, the pretext to remake the Middle East into an image that benefits us and our allies in Saudi Arabia and Israel, of course that was part of the reason for this. To give a blank check to the military-industrial complex, they knew this would happen. Those guys on the PNAC list, they're, a lot of them are ex-government people. They're military contractors. They understand how this works. They know who's going to get all the money. It's part of the reason. It's not the only reason, but it's part of the reason. But like I said, they made a lot of mistakes. And for those of you that are unaware of the details of September 11th, there is a smoking gun. It's the smoking gun that woke me up to all of this. Yes, 9/11 in general. But nobody was ever able to explain Building 7. Now, if this is the first time you're hearing of Building 7, then, well, you've got some research to do. I hate to break it to you, but Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth did a great ad campaign a couple of years ago. Very simple. I have a marketing degree, so I love a good marketing campaign when I see it. They got billboards in New York City, and they put it on buses in multiple cities, not just New York, but specifically in New York, that said, did you know a third building fell on 9/11? That's all it said with their tagline, AE911truth.org. Oh, brilliant. Because if you didn't know that a third building fell on 9/11, that billboard certainly got your attention, got you thinking. What? No, I didn't know that. What are you talking about? You decide to look it up, and what do you find? You find a 47-story steel and glass building, a part of the World Trade Center complex, but a building that was not hit by an airplane. You watch that thing come down at 5:25 in the afternoon on 9/11, not days later, not weeks later, that afternoon, in a controlled demolition, and perfectly symmetrical controlled demolition. They didn't want you to know about that. They couldn't explain it. They announced the destruction of the building in advance. Jane Stanley from BBC announced it 20 minutes in advance. She did a live remote on camera talking about Building 7, the Solomon Brothers building is what they called it. That was the name. Talking about it coming down, collapsing. But you could see it over her left shoulder. You could see it. It's still there. So I ask you this. Did Jane Stanley and her colleagues at the BBC have ESP? Or is there something a little bit fishy about knowing that a building is about to go down that wasn't hit by an airplane and then magically goes down 20 minutes later? Don't you think that's a little unusual? I certainly did. It's the one event that nobody can give a good explanation for. It's so inconvenient to the official narrative that in that 9/11 commission report book that looks like a phone book, they failed to mention it. Hundreds and hundreds of pages of information in that 9/11 commission report. Just couldn't get to Building 7. We'll put that in the second edition, right? Stay there, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes. Hey.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Caps, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Purely C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Power Hour J here. We'd like to thank everyone for their hard work. And in honor of Labor Day, we would like to offer you some special discounts for shopping at the Power Mall, which supports the Power Hour radio show and many other small businesses. Make a purchase from September the 6th through the 12th and receive 10% off when you spend $75, 15% off when you spend $150, and 20% off when you spend $200. To place your order by phone, call us at 877-817-9829 or shop online at thepowermall.com. No code necessary. Discount will apply at checkout. Wishing everyone a peaceful Labor Day. Rest when you're weary. Refresh and renew yourself, your body, your mind, and your spirit. God bless. Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature. Unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure, but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. My name's Charlie Robinson. I'm your guest host for this afternoon. We're getting deep into 9/11. It's that time of year. It's frustrating that we have to do this. You know, there's those stickers everywhere. Never forget, right? Never forget. Unless you're talking about Building 7, right? Then, oh, forget about that, right? We don't want you, but never forget. Never forget the official story was crafted by the mainstream media and the lunatics in Washington, D.C. Maybe not the best place to get your information. It's been incumbent upon us over the last two decades to dig into the story to see how much of this is true. I mean, after all, we launched countless wars on the basis of 19 Arab hijackers did to us here something awful, and we must prevent them. We must get them there so that they don't ever come back and get us here. Boy, that sure sounds like problem reaction solution to me. Problem. There's a terrorist network that has infiltrated the United States, flown planes into buildings, and created havoc and destruction. Reaction. Ah! Never let it happen again. Do whatever you need to do. Solution. We need $6 trillion. And no questions asked. And that's what they got. I mean, if you remember the environment right after 9/11, how tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree and American flags everywhere and this camaraderie. Not that that's a bad thing. All good things, of course. But it was weaponized. That anger was weaponized. We got to get them. You know, George W. Bush standing on that pile of rubble with the bullhorn. We got to get them. You know, the people that knocked down these buildings, we're coming to get you. Yeah, he wasn't that married to the idea. I got a quote from him 6 months later going, you know, I'm really just not that concerned with it. Terror's more than just one man. Yeah, well, he's right about that. Did you know did you know about the Bush family's relationship with the Bin Laden family? I mean, do people know this? I'm going to paint a picture for you of a scenario that is so unlikely that you will be convinced that I'm making this up. But I assure you, this is 100% true. And remember earlier I mentioned Frank Carlucci and the Carlyle Group and what a dangerous individual he is. Well, on behalf of the Carlyle Group, George H.W. Bush, Papa Bush, right? George W.'s dad, no longer with us, one of the most evil people to ever walk the earth, I might add. He was in Washington, D.C. on the morning of September 11th, 2001. Do you know what he was doing? He was having a meeting on behalf of his partners at the Carlyle Group to discuss business with the Bin Laden family. Now, I'd like you for you to just you don't have to be a statistician, mathematician, any of those things. I just would like you to do a little internal calculation of what you think the likelihood is that the president, the standing president of the United States' dad, just so happened to be having a meeting with the family of the terrorist Osama bin Laden, who pulled off 9/11 on the morning of 9/11. Don't you find that, I don't know, extremely unlikely that that's a coincidence? Well, of course it's not a coincidence. They've known each other for decades. They've been in business together for a very long time. The Bin Laden family and the Bush family had a relationship for many, many years before 9/11. You know, another family that the Bush family was real friendly with? I know you're not going to believe this, but it's 100% true. The Hinckleys. Oh, it's true. Yes, yes. The Hinckley family and the Bush family were very close. But I'm a coincidence theorist, right, for pointing this out. I can't get away from the statistical impossibility of that being anything but a pre-planned event using Osama bin Laden, otherwise known as Tim Osman, that was his CIA name, as the big boogeyman to kick off this global war of terror, with a little help from their partners in the Mossad and Pakistani intelligence, Saudi intelligence, faction of the United States government. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right. It's probably just 19 Arab hijackers that didn't know how to fly Cessnas. I mean, that story, look, when this all kicked off, George W. Bush went on television and demanded that we not believe outrageous conspiracy theories. But I would suggest to you that the official story of 9/11 is the most outrageous conspiracy theory I've ever heard. It is so packed with lies, it is so impossible, that it is laughable on its face. And yet here we are, two decades later, talking about it as if every aspect of that story was exactly as reported, that there was no manipulation of the news, none of that. So it brings me back to World Trade Center 7. It always brings me back to World Trade Center 7, because that's the one you can't explain. And it came down in a controlled demolition. That is understood. It's understood not just by me. I'm not an architect. I'm not an engineer. But Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, well, that's a group that would know something about this. They have 3,000 architects and engineers that have stated on the record, at great risk to their own careers, that the official story of World Trade Center 7 coming down due to office fires is a mathematical, scientific, and engineering impossibility. They're all on the record. stating this. They invested several years and a couple $100,000 partnering with the University of Fairbanks, Alaska to create a computer-generated model showing that, showing two things, showing that the official NIST version of office fires causing this was an impossibility, which of course it is, and then showing the way the building actually came down in a controlled demolition. Now, when you come to the understanding that World Trade Center 7 was taken down in a controlled demolition, it leads you to the next possibility, the next probability. And that is, if one of those buildings was wired for demolition, all of them were. And if all of them were wired, then we've got a big problem. And of course we do. We have a big problem. We have a big problem with the official story. It's not true. We have hundreds of eyewitnesses on the ground saying that they heard, felt, and saw explosions in the building, in the bottom of the building, in the sub-basement floors. You have people saying there were gigantic explosions in the lobby of Tower 1 and 2 were blown up at the lobby level. You can watch videos of this. It's not, you don't have to take my word for it. Go find the videos. You can hear the bombs going off. So who was in Building 7? Why'd they take that one down? Well, some of the tenants are who you would expect. Solomon Smith Barney, American Express, Standard Chartered Bank, Provident Financial Management, ITT Hartford Insurance Group. These are the normal lower Manhattan sort of tenants that you would expect in a building like that. Nothing too unusual. The Internal Revenue Service was in that building. The United States Secret Service New York branch was in that building. The Securities and Exchange Commission was in that building. And wouldn't you know, a lot of the documents and information that they had that they were using to take down Enron and other companies that were parts of that were all stored in that building, and they just up and vanished. The mayor's OEM, the Office of Emergency Management, the mayor's doomsday bunker was in World Trade Center 7, in it. They abandoned it. They didn't go into it. They left hot coffee there, according to Barry Jennings, who was one of the people that was trapped in there. Trapped in there when the stairwell he was going down in Building 7 exploded. Exploded. Hours before the building came down. So what are we... Who else was in there? Uh-oh, you're not going to like the answer to this. The CIA. The CIA had an office in World Trade Center 7. In case you were wondering, in case it wasn't all weird enough. But I want to read a quote from Niels Harrit, emeritus professor of chemistry, Copenhagen University. He said this. Now, what happens to a society when we all share a secret, but nobody can talk about it? The fact is that the post 9/11 society is characterized by lies and fears. This time they effed up. When you see Building 7, it is obvious. It is so open for everyone ready to see what they see. This time they went too far. We are talking about the fundamental laws of physics. We are talking about Sir Isaac Newton's laws of motion. And according to these, this official 9/11 World Trade Center 7 collapse story is impossible unless you have applied some force to make the building fall. Gravity cannot do that, because when a building is in free fall, all of the energy of the building is going into accelerating the building down. There is no energy left for breaking thousands of steel beams and girders. This is completely basic physics. There is no way Building 7 could be brought down without application of explosives unless you are ready to violate Sir Isaac Newton's laws of motion. And this hasn't happened since 1687 yet. So if you claim the official story, you are talking about miracles, because a miracle is a violation of the laws of nature, and I don't believe that. And I don't believe that either. I had an insane universe experience happen to me. I agreed to go to a wedding. A buddy of mine was getting married in the state of Washington. I live in Denver. Got to get on a plane, got to fly there. Didn't know anybody at the wedding. I had put out my first book, The Octopus of Global Control. It dealt with 9/11, among other topics, but it had been out for a couple of years. I go to this wedding. It's a beautiful wedding. I don't know where I'm going to be seated for dinner. Dinner time comes along. They say, this is your seat right here. I have a seat. The person to the right of me is Richard Gage, the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Of all the people in the world that I could have been seated next to randomly at a wedding, I get seated next to Richard Gage. I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. And Richard, by the way, is the nicest guy in the world. And I said to him, you're in my book. And he said, wow, that's cool. And I said, no, I don't think you understand. I have an entire chapter called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And he's like, really? And for the next 2 hours, this poor guy had to sit there and listen to me ask him every question I could think of regarding structural engineering, load-bearing walls, anything I could get from this guy on 9/11. I figured, it was the universe saying, you got him. He's right there. He can't even escape from you. He's stuck at this wedding with you. Ask the questions. And Richard and I are good friends now. I got him invited to an Acapulco in Mexico. He did a great presentation there. He got a standing ovation in front of 3,000 people. We continued our conversations at night in the bar in Mexico, getting as deep into this as we could. It's impossible for that building to have come down without it being blown up. And so it leads you down a path. It leads you down a path of trying to understand what happened, how this event could be orchestrated, who did it, how much time did they need, is this something that could have been done in the afternoon of 9/11? I asked him. From your experience with anybody dealing with building demolition, could you wire this thing in an afternoon? First two towers go down 9:30. This thing goes down at 5:30 in the afternoon. Is it possible in the chaos of all of this? He said, I don't think it's possible. But to be fair, he's not a controlled demolition. He's not a demolition expert. I bet you he knows more about demolition now than most of them, but it's the one component of the story that always trips people up. It's Building 7. It's understanding 9/11 is fundamental. And just doing an hour on that topic on this show, it's scratching the surface. It'll never do it justice. We know that. But I think it's important for people to think about 9/11 again. So much of how we think of that event is dictated to us by the mainstream media, and they're not trustworthy. We know that. So you know, where do we go from here? You know, I think I'm going to run through a list of some things that happened on 9/11 that you may or may not know of. I'm not going to go into elaborate detail, but just remember, these are events that happened on that day. The FBI confiscated 84 of 85 videos from the Pentagon. They released Pentagon security camera footage from the FOIA request does not show a 757 and is clearly missing at least one frame, possibly more. All of the air defense systems around Washington, D.C. were turned off that day. Ask yourself why and who authorized that. The answer is Dick Cheney. Stewart Air Force Base, 60 miles north of Manhattan, became the only U.S. commercial airport to be privatized when Governor Pataki sold the lease to a foreign company in 2000 before buying the lease back a couple years later. Did you know that the transponders in both American Airlines Flight 11 and United Airlines Flight 175 turned off at the exact same time, 8:36 a.m., as they passed over Stewart Air Force Base? The flights crashed into the World Trade Center complex 17 minutes apart after being at the same place at the same time over Stewart Air Force Base. It's a very unusual thing. On 9/11, there was an exercise designed to mimic an attack on the towers by airplanes. Hell, there were 30 exercises running on 9/11 that were simulating all kinds of crazy things, including airplanes being added to the air traffic controller's flight radar that weren't actually there. Osama bin Laden was not wanted by the FBI for the 9/11 attacks. Did you know that? In fact, in 2006, they said he was not a suspect. A total of 503 first responders, that includes firefighters, police officers, and witnesses, testified about hearing bombs and explosion in the lobbies, elevators, and basement levels, as well as seeing several firefighters that were killed and injured during the explosions in the lobby themselves. Explosive squibs can be seen on multiple sides of the buildings, Towers 1, Towers 2, and Tower 7. A couple of floors before the leading edge of the collapsing buildings. So as you're watching the buildings come down, look about 10 stories below where the rubble is, and you will see lateral ejections of material. That's the removal of the support columns one by one by one every several milliseconds in order for the building to come down at free fall speed in its own footprint. The Bush administration stalled for 441 days before starting the 9/11 commission. And when they did start it, they tried to nominate Henry Kissinger to head up the commission. Do you remember that? Do you remember how much outrage there was? I mean, even the dumbed down sheeple people understood Henry Kissinger should not be put in charge of anything. Did you know that Marvin Bush was the director of a security firm, Stratasec? They were in charge of security for the World Trade Center complex and Dulles International Airport. I'm sure that's just gigantic coincidence, though. And they cleaned up that crime scene pretty quick, don't you think? Shipped all that steel off to China so it could be melted down. Look, there's a lot of problems with the official story. I think most people that are awake, I think this audience is awake. I think this audience knows what's going on. It's important to understand what the goal of 9/11 was, though. If you understand what these people wanted, the different factions, then it's easy to work backwards now from that. I'll tell you what they wanted. The oil companies wanted a pipeline through Afghanistan. The CIA wanted control of the poppy fields in Afghanistan. The military-industrial complex wanted never-ending wars in the Middle East. The Bush family wanted to conceal their financial crimes in the $1 trillion that was coming due the next day, September 12, 2001, that was cleared through emergency measures. Multinational corporations wanted access to the trillions of dollars in minerals in Afghanistan. The shadow government wanted control of the Pentagon. Larry Silverstein wanted his World Trade Center buildings destroyed so that he didn't have to pay for the asbestos to be removed at a cost of $1 billion. The neocons wanted a destabilized Middle East. Israel wanted a destabilized Middle East. Saudi Arabia wanted a destabilized Middle East. They wanted the destruction of Iraq, Syria, Iran. The Pentagon wanted a blank check. And most importantly, the government and the media wanted the people to be scared. Because when you're scared, you'll give up your rights and your liberties in exchange for the idea of security. And what did we do? We enacted the Patriot Act, which took away our liberties under the guise of offering us protection. And if you think those temporary measures were going to stay temporary, well, then you just don't understand how things work. I ask the question, are you still taking your shoes off when you get on an airplane? Of course you are. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Changing topics. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.